This is The Gardening Show
with Master Gardener Bob Harris
on WESB.
Presented by Worth W. Smith Hardware.
Call the show 368-WESB.
That's 368-9372.
And welcome to The Gardening Show. A beautiful day for now. Supposedly it's going to storm later, but hey.
Yep.
We're going to enjoy it and get some gardening done this morning, maybe even go to some of the garage sales and yard sales around town.
Sure.
Good
Sounds
morning.
Good.
Yeah, how are you?
Good. How are you, Igor?
I am wonderful. We're going to be starting Facebook Live in a little bit, and we also have an email I wanted to show you. Somebody emailed the station a couple days ago, actually, a question. They wanted to know what kind of a flower that they had, so I'll bring that up in a little bit, too.
Okay.
All right, so garden at WESB.com, or if you have a question for Bob, it's 814-368-9372, 814-368-9372, and Facebook Live will be up in just a little bit. So go ahead and let's...
This is the time for those Memorial Day plantings. Everybody's well-stocked with plants, but before you get started... Some things you may want to consider: amending the soil that you're going to be planting in. That can be very, very important. I like to use peat moss and compost, but there are a lot of other products out there. Anything that will rot down is going to be a good amendment for the soil. And it's going to bring life to the soil, which will help feed the plants, and it'll help aerate the soil. A lot of us have clay soil, so anytime we can aerate it, we're going to be much better off. So amend the soil. Now you can add your amendment, like I would do peat moss. Then you got to till it in or turn it over with a shovel and try to break up all the clumps. And then you can plant, and then you water it in, and then it helps to put a fertilizer in there too for the long run. So really simple to do. Anybody can do it in any place, you know. And I should say too that if you're doing it in a container, like a large pot or any other type of container, get container soil. Don't use your garden soil. It's a whole different environment in a container, so it warrants a whole different soil. So get that bagged potting soil for those containers.
But you said peat moss for?
To amend the soil.
To amend the soil.
Yeah.
Okay. That's what I never do that.
Oh, well.
That's why I don't have a lot of luck.
you can amend the soil with a lot of different things, too. Like I said, compost, grass clippings, old sawdust, manure, old grass clippings, a lot of ways, old chopped up leaves, a lot of ways to amend the soil. That's just the one I prefer is peat moss because it's very convenient. And it does seem to have some... bactericide things in it.
Okay.
That help keep away bacteria or help to keep your plants a little healthier. And it holds a lot of moisture, so we're not out there watering every day. I kind of like peat moss.
And that's what I should use for, I think we talked about it last week, I have cracks.
Yeah,
because my some spots are so dry in my yard.
In the yard, yeah.
If it's not a spot of swamp, it's a spot of cracked dirt.
But that's just common in Bradford. We all have a clay-based soil here, and so when it gets real dry, it is going to crack. When it's real wet, it's going to swell back up and the cracks will disappear. It's just the nature of the beast around here. I really wouldn't worry about it a whole lot. You know, if it does bother you, yeah, you can throw some compost over it. You know, just a half inch thick layer or some peat moss or any other material like that will help it over time.
Okay, great. Hey, our phone lines are open. 368-WESB, 814-368-9372, if you have a question for Bob.
Did you want to do that email?
Sure. Okay. Garden@WESB.com, so you can email. And the cool thing about that is you could attach a picture.
Yes.
And, you know, if you have any kind of thing that you wanted to know about, like, hey, what's this?
Okay.
Or, does this look dead to you?
I got to get up and look a little closer.
Oh, well, I can make it bigger. He wants to know, okay, this is from James.
Okay.
Wondering if you could tell me the name of this flower. It comes up in the spring and grows about 3 to 4 feet high. Received it from a friend, and she's had them for about 40 years.
Okay.
Wow.
Yeah.
The pictures are from blooming, and then it was done, and the bulb, it says, thanks. Oh, and then thanks, Kathy. All right. So.
Yeah, that one there is a different plant than the pink one up above that you're showing me. That pink and white one up above is called Cullenbine.
Okay.
Cullenbine. That's the common name for it.
But she wants to know about this flower here.
Oh, that one there. Okay.
Yeah.
it's right there on the tip of my tongue, too.
Uh-oh.
a lot of people call them snowdrops.
Oh.
Snowdrops.
So it's like a white, looks like a white petal with, what are they, like a spot of green?
Spot of green on the end of each flower petal. It's a very nice plant, grows from a bulb, like she said, and it's very desirable, so it's a nice plant to have. Snowdrop.
Snowdrop, okay.
Yep.
Is that native to the area?
Or? Yes. Yes, it is.
All right, great. And when's an appropriate time to plant those?
Those bulbs?
Mm-hmm.
Usually, like most bulbs, it's usually in the fall. But okay. If you want to dig and divide them now, you can do that. You'll be very successful with it. Just keep all the foliage on there as long as you can. Let the foliage die back naturally, because that's what's going to help feed the bulb and increase the amount of bulbs in the ground. So try to save that foliage.
Okay, great. And you said that's a dividable one, so it expands over time? And
yes, it does.
Big, okay.
And develops tiny bulbs. So, you know, you will have to, when you dig it up, if you're going to divide it, really pay attention, and you'll see that. And then plant them about 3 or 4 inches deep.
Okay, great. Yeah.
Neat plant.
Snowdrop?
Snowdrop.
Okay.
Yep.
Perfect. Hey, thanks a lot for the email, Kathy and James. And if you'd like to email the show, you can do that, garden@WESB.com. Let's take a short break. We'll be right back in 30 seconds with more Gardening Show. It's B107.5 FM.
Spring has sprung. Time to get your gardening underway with a visit to Worth W. Smith Company Hardware. Start with their big selection of garden seeds and fertilizers to grow all your favorite vegetables and flowers. Build attractive planting beds and landscape edging with railroad ties from Worth Smith. Dress it up with the popular black pearl mulch and add bags of landscape stone and pavers to finish it off. You'll be the envy of your neighborhood. It's time to get started. Remember, if you need it, you'll find it at Worth W. Smith Company Hardware in Bradford.
It's the Gardening Show on B107.5 FM. I'm Igor. He is Bob, the Master Gardener Harris. And thanks to Worth W. Smith for sponsoring the show. And you did, speaking of show, bring some show and tell.
I did, yes.
So you can join us on Facebook.com/WESB1075 for Facebook Live. And you could also drop a comment there if you have a question as well. And as I say that, I have Amber.
All right.
Who wrote in from Facebook. Says, good morning. I was wondering if you could tell me why my grapevine leaves have brown spots on them. Is it a fungus?
Yes, it probably is a fungus.
Uh-oh.
Whenever it's a certain temperature and damp out for a long period of time, which it has been, fungus can appear. Now, there are ways to take care of it.
Good. So it's not like a death sentence for the grapevines.
Well, it can be.
Oh,
but yeah. I'm afraid it can be.
Uh-oh. Let's get that taken care of.
If left unchecked, it can be a death sentence. Now, there are fungicides that you can apply to your grapevine, but what I like to do is thin it out so you have better air circulation. The more air that passes through, the quicker the moisture will dry off the leaves and not allow that fungus a chance to grow. It's going to grow on those wet leaves that are wet for a long time. So good air circulation can be the key. And, of course, lots of sun. So if you put them in a good sunny spot, then you'll be successful. But if that spot has, you know, the trees grow around, grow taller all the time and can start casting some shade on our grapevines, and that can cause a few problems. So maybe thin it out, try to remove a lot of those leaves, and hopefully that'll take care of it. Or, you know, get some fungicide and spray the fungicide on it on a non-windy day. And when it's not too hot, you know, if it gets above 80, don't spray. So on a nice, calm, cool day is a good time to apply it.
Okay, and about how long, like today, would today be okay if it's going to rain later, like after 5?
Yeah, is that enough time for it? Still would be okay, yes.
Okay.
Now, of course, the rain's going to wash some of the fungicide off, but
it'll have enough time to kind of work.
It's going to start reacting as soon as it's sprayed on, and a lot of it is going to remain on there for quite a few rains.
Because, well, I'm thinking, like, you know, when it rains here, it rains for like 4 days in a row. So, and the forecast doesn't look great. So maybe she should get on that this morning.
Yes.
So
the sooner the better.
Okay. All right, Amber, thanks so much for the question on Facebook Live, and good luck on your grapevines.
And Amber, that was only one suggestion. You know, there could be other causes to the brown spots on your leaves also. Hopefully it's a fungus that I was right, but it can be just other things. there's a lot of numerous things it could be.
But that's probably, like you said, we've had a lot of rain and so that's probably it.
It probably is.
All right. Amber says, thank you so much. Well, you're very welcome.
Well, you're welcome.
Thanks for listening and watching. Well, we have show and tell. What do we have today, Bob?
The most popular vegetable plant in America, the tomato plant. Well, number one is corn. Number two is the tomato plant. But for a home gardener,
right. The
tomato plant is number one. So I want to give you a few suggestions on how to be very successful with a tomato plant. And this one in particular is a pretty neat one. It's called Mazzano, if I've pronounced it that way.
If we may use that language on the radio.
Yes. but for a very successful tomato plant, and only with the tomato plant can you do this, you'll see a lot of little hairs up and down the stem. Those hairs are capable of becoming roots, and the more roots you can develop on a tomato plant, the better the tomato plant will be. So when we go to plant it, well, of course, we're going to take it out of the pot and try to lay it down, you know, dig a trench, a shallow trench. Place that tomato plant in the trench up to the first set of leaves you see coming out of there. You can even go up to the second set, but no deeper. The rest of it's going to remain out. Now, it will be laying over, but over a period of a week, it's going to bend up and right itself. But in the meantime, we're going to have a lot more stem under the ground to develop more roots and develop a bigger, better plant that can support a lot more fruit for us. So that's only with the tomato plant you want to do that. So that will help us out in having a very successful tomato harvest. And I thought it was important to bring up because it is the number one home gardener plant, vegetable plant.
And it was you could put it over there closer to
tomato plant.
No.
Marzanto.
Marzanto.
Marzanto. Oh, what's neat about it is it's not a round tomato. It's long, like a cucumber.
No.
Oh, what do you mean, ooh? It's kind of neat.
Well, how are you going to put that on a hamburger?
Well, you slice it, of course.
Oh.
Yeah, and that's what's neat. You can slice it either way. You can slice it the long way, or you can slice it the short way, so you have many pieces on your tomato plant.
I was just thinking of long, oblong tomato slices. It's like, wait a minute.
Oh, and it's very tasty. They get pretty large. You know, they can get the size of a cucumber. Not a real big cucumber, but okay. The size of a cucumber also. So it's just kind of a neat and a good tasting tomato plant.
See, I don't really care for tomatoes.
Oh, geez. So
I heard long. I'm thinking of like just giant long tomato thing. I'm like, oh, boy, I don't know.
No, they're only going to get, you know, 6-8 inches
gotcha.
Long. Gotcha. You know, yeah. And they get reds when they're ripe. So we know when they're ripe and when we can harvest them. So that's the tomato plant.
Mm-hmm.
I brought in a few more annuals. This is one of my favorites called Angelonia. And most of these that I brought in because of their peculiar way of attracting certain insects.
Oh, okay.
To them.
So this one's like a purple and white kind of
yeah.
flower.
But it'll come in white. It comes in blue. It comes in lavender. It comes in pink. A lot of different colors. And it's an upright grower. But it has on the off the stem a long tube. And then, of course, the petals of the flower. So it's very attractive for hummingbirds because of that long tube. A lot of bees can't get the nectar out of there. So the nectar is left there for moths and butterflies and hummingbirds. So that makes it a pretty interesting plant. A lot of us like to attract those pollinators to our gardens. Now, some of the bees can. A lot of bees have learned that if they bite a hole at the base of that tube,
oh, those rascals!
They can rob the nectar. Oh. That's called rob the nectar rather than pollinating. But it's an annual, so we're really not interested in it being pollinated because it won't regrow from seed in our garden. So a neat one to attract the hummingbirds and those moths and butterflies.
Full shade, part sun.
Full sun.
Okay.
Full sun to part sun. Angelonia. Upright grower, going to grow maybe a foot and a half tall. Another one, again, one of my favorites. I'm probably going to say that about all these plants.
These are all annuals, right?
Yeah, these okay. are all annuals, yeah. This one is Lantana. Lantana. This grows wild out in the Southwest. Again, it has, and it's hard to see. But it does have a long tubular blossom. The blossoms are very, very tiny, so not real attractive to bumblebees and honeybees, but very attractive to hummingbirds and those moths and butterflies again, Lantana.
So that's like a orangish.
Yeah, and it's going to come in a lot of different colors,
flowers.
Too. Flowers. Yep.
How big around do those get? Is that about it? Do they grow?
That's about it, but they'll get several. And the plant has more of a horizontal growth than an upright growth.
Okay.
So it can cover a large area. And it's not very susceptible to a lot of diseases or insects, so it's a good one to have in the garden. But again, it really attracts those hummingbirds and butterflies and moths a great deal. So it's a good one to have in the garden. That's Lantana. So I'm going to show you another one that's similar. That was Lantana. This is Verbena. Very similar. And both these plants are going to come in a lot of different colors, not just the colors that I'm showing you. This is Verbena. And again, it has that long tube coming off the stem towards the outside of the flower, highly attractive to those critters that like to pollinate. They're going to pollinate because they're after the nectar,
mm-hmm.
the sweet nectar. It's honey. It's sugar water, really. And so that's going to be highly attractive to those hummingbirds and the moths and the butterflies.
Now, this one, does this one come in all the colors too? Or
yes, it sure does.
This is a very vibrant pink violet.
Yeah, it is, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, it comes in a lot of different colors, whites, purples, blues, yellows, comes in a lot of different colors.
All the colors of the rainbow. And about how tall does that one grow?
Oh, again, that's a good question. That one's mostly a one that likes to grow outward rather than upward.
What's that word?
You know, I get a little overexcited about plants, and then I get tongue-tied. My wife's probably laughing right now. She hears it all the time. Another one here. This is
He's going to try
Guinea impatient.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's not so bad. I thought you were going to say, "Oh, how do I pronounce this?"
Oh, yeah. No, New Guinea impatient. This is one that likes the sun or part sun. Even in the shade, sun or shade, this is. And this one will grow upright, so it can get quite tall, you know, foot and a half, probably mostly around a foot. Great big blossoms. They're going to attract all the pollinators.
Mm.
So it's a really nice garden plant. And shows up real well from a long distance.
And the one you have here is a nice pinkish red.
Okay,
a deep red kind of pink hue to it.
Yep, indeed.
Just to describe to our radio friends.
Oh, okay. Yeah, with big blossoms, those blossoms are as big as a silver dollar. Now, to the radio people, the other ones I showed with Lantana and Verbena, each one of those blossoms is, what are we going to say?
Size of a quarter.
No, well, each blossom, though.
Oh, oh.
In the bunch. Like, there's what we call an umbel of flowers, several flowers in one bunch. Each flower is the size of a pea.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's what makes it attractive here. And then the Angelonia, it has a stem, kind of like a lilac stem, with a lot of blossoms going all the way up the stem, and it'll start blooming from the bottom, and the blooms go all the way to the top. And those flowers are probably the size of a penny, each one, with, of course, that long nectar tube at the flower to attract those people with the long tongues.
So each of these are good for hummingbirds, well, minus the tomato plant, I guess, right?
Yeah, minus that.
Right, but and then the final one that you had here, the New Guinea
impatient
is good for all
pollinate. Everybody. Yep, and with the tomato plant too. I always suggest planting some flowers in your vegetable garden to attract the pollinators. The tomato plant doesn't need a pollinator. It's great if it gets one, but it really doesn't need it. It's what we call wind pollinated and self-pollinated. So whenever when your tomato plant is in bloom and you walk by it, give it a shake. That stirs up the pollen, it gets airborne, and it'll land on another flower, and that way it gets pollinated. But, you know, if you do plant some marigolds or petunias beneath it to help attract the pollinators will go to the tomato plant and even ensure that process even more so.
Wonderful. All right. We have about 3 minutes left in the show. There is still time for your phone calls if you did want to ask Bob a question.
Okay.
It's 814-368-9372. That's 814-368-9372. And we're on Facebook Live. And by the way, I should mention that we record the shows every week, and then we put them up as a podcast, if you will. It's on demand at WESB.com. And you can find any of the shows that we've done in the last few years.
Sure. Yeah.
All right. So you can get your gardening show fix any time in the week, any time of the day or night. We're there for you.
I was going to talk about, you know, I spoke about Darwin. I'm not going to talk about it today because it's kind of lengthy. But I was going to talk about carnivorous plants, plants that feed off of animals.
Okay.
And insects.
Was that one that he was mentioning in that book that we were talking about last week?
But I'm going to cover that next week.
Oh, good. Okay.
So this and the show this week.
Those are always fascinating, the man-eating plants.
Yeah. Yes, they are. Very, very fascinating. When you're planting your vegetable garden this Memorial Day, I want you to think about, the tomato. You're going to be traveling the whole world. The tomato plant is from Central America. The potato is from South America. The corn is from South America. Asparagus is from the Mediterranean. The eggplant is from Asia. The pepper, again, from South America. South America produced a lot of great food crops.
Mm-hmm.
Broccoli, Brussels sprouts, kohlrabi, cauliflower, all come from the Mediterranean. And all really from one plant. They were developed in to become all these plants.
Wow.
Lettuce is from Eurasia, Russia, and Turkey. Squash is from North America. The cucumber came from India. The beet came from Europe and West Asia.
Well, they could keep that.
So, and it goes on and on. The beet, you don't like beets?
I don't like beets.
Oh. The onion came from everywhere on earth.
That's my favorite vegetable right there.
Okay. And that's a real easy one to grow. So when you're planting and picking out your plants, just think about that. You're really putting the whole world in one little 4x8 spot.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So it's kind of neat. Thank goodness we have all them plants. And really, thank goodness to South America and Central America. A lot of our vegetables came from that area.
In ancient history, it's always fascinating how that was a huge part of currency was spices and foods and things from a faraway lands that you don't normally see.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very neat.
That we don't even think about when we're using them.
No. Nope. Yeah. It's just all at the store for us now. We can get anything we want.
Yep. From anywhere in the world.
Well, thank you so much, Bob.
Well, you're welcome.
And I hope you have a fantastic Memorial Day weekend.
I hope everybody does.
I hope so, too. And should probably mention, since it is Memorial Day, we do give thanks to
indeed.
Made the ultimate sacrifice. So thank you very much. And I enjoy my freedom. I don't know about you.
I enjoy it very much.
Absolutely.
And I thank all those guys and girls every day.
Yep. So thank you and have a great weekend. It's The Gardening Show on B107.5 FM.